Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos Daf Chav Gimel. We are holding on where we're going to pick up from Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis. We're going to pick up from 10 lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis. And that's going to be the sugya of Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah or Hanacha Osa Mitzvah. We're going to bring rayas whether the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is accomplished by the Maisa Hadlaka, by the lighting, or by the placement of the candle in the proper location. Before we get to that, today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, by Chani and J.J. Hornblast to mark the end of the Shloshim for J.J.'s great aunt, a Holocaust survivor, Elizabeth Fried, Devorah Bas Moshe, may Neshama have an Aliyah, and by Mendel Goldberg, Le'ilui Nishmas, his grandmother's yard site, Fegi Bas Mordechai Shlomo, and Rachel, her Neshama, should have an Aliyah. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing we're going to discuss is Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah or Hanacha Osa Mitzvah, and then the Gemara is going to get into the sugya of the brachos on Ner Chanukah. How many brachos are there for the person who's actually accomplishing the mitzvah of lighting Ner Chanukah, and how many brachos are there for a roeh, for someone who sees Ner Chanukah? We're going to discuss brachos on mitzvos to Rabbanon in general. That's going to bring us into a discussion about demai, whether the status of demai has a din of a safek or a din of a vadai, and the general concern of chashad, that if a person has two doorways, does he have to light by both of the doorways out of a concern of chashad? And where else do we find such a concern of chashad that someone might suspect you of wrongdoing? And then on Amud Beis, we're going to discuss the relative value of Shalom Bayis versus Ner Chanukah, Persume Nisa as well, and how we parse out what to do when you can't do everything, right? Which mitzvos take precedence when you can't do all of the mitzvos you can't afford, let's say, you don't have enough neiros to do all of the mitzvos in the way that they were meant to be done. So we are holding again. We're going to pick up 10 lines from the end of the page on Daf Chaf Bezam. Oh, I think we're also going to discuss guests on Ner Chanukah. Was that yesterday? I think we're going to discuss that as well. So we're on Daf Chaf Bezam Bez. We are 10 lines from the end of the page on Daf Chaf Bezam Bez. We're going to pick up from Tashema. So again, the sugya is whether Hanacha Osa Mitzvah or Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. So Gemara tells us Tashema Damarava Hayatafas Ner Chanukah Vaomid Laasa V'lo Klum. If a person is just holding a Ner Chanukah and he's standing there, he has not accomplished the mitzvah. Judah Power was just pointing out that I said last cycle from the Sfas Emes that he understands this al derech drush, that if a person has a miracle, a person has an Ner Chanukah, and he's just tough as viomed, and he's just standing in place, and it doesn't change him, it doesn't make him do anything different, it doesn't change who he is, his life, in any way, then lo asa v'lo klum, then that miracle was a waste on him, that in order for a person to, for the miracle to have done what it was meant to accomplish, it has to change a person. But the simple reading of the Gemara certainly is that he's physically holding a Ner Chanukah, and he's just standing there, so lo asa v'lo klum, he hasn't done the mitzvah. So shema minah, nacha osa mitzvah, don't you see from there that lighting the candle was not enough, that he has to place it down, and the fact that he's holding it means that he never did a hanacha, and that's why he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah. And so Gemara, no, hasama roa omer litzarcha hu denakitla. No, over there, it's a perception problem. Someone who sees him is going to assume that he's just carrying a ner because he needs the light. They're not going to realize that he's doing it for the sake of the mitzvah. Tashma Raya number two. Dama Rava Dika Bifnim Votziya Lo Asa Klum. If a person lights his Ner Chanukah inside and then he brings it out to the proper location where it can be seen, he has not accomplished the mitzvah. So Yam Bishlama Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah Hadlaka Bimakom Abinon Mishamachi Lo Asa Klum. I understand very well if you hold Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, the Hadlaka has to be done in the right location. And over here, the Hadlaka was not done in the right location, and that's why he has not fulfilled the mitzvah. Eli amrit hanacha osa mitzvah. But if you hold that hanacha osa mitzvah, it's just the placement of the candle that accomplishes the mitzvah, amai lo asa v'lo klum, why would we say that he has not accomplished anything? Sanses Gemara Hasam Nami Haroe Hu Omer Litzarcho Hu Da'adlika. No, over here also, it's a perception issue that someone sees that you had a candle from inside your home that you're now bringing out. They're going to assume that you did not light it L'shem Ner Chanukah, that you lit it for your own personal benefit. Tashema says Gemara the third and final raya. Dom Rabbi Shua ben Levi, now on the top of Chav Gimel Amar Aleph. Ashash Shaisa Do Lekes Va Lekes Kala Yom Kulo. If you have a large glass kli, a lantern that has been lit all day long. L'motzai Shabbos, mechabe u'madlika. On Motzai Shabbos, you could extinguish it and relight it. So, iam Rabbi Shlomo hadlaka osa mitzvah shapir. If you're going to tell me that the hadlaka is osa mitzvah, I understand. I need to extinguish it and relight it in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah on Motzai Shabbos. The fact that there is a candle lit is not enough. You need to do a maisa hadlaka, so I have to extinguish it and relight it. Eli iamrit hanacha osa mitzvah. But if you're going to say that just the placement of the Ner Chanukah is what accomplishes the mitzvah, hay mechabe umadlika, extinguishing and relighting, that would suffice. No, mechabe umagbia umanicha umadlika. What it should have said is you should extinguish it, lift it, place it, and light it. And in that way, you will have done not only a hadlaka, but a hanacha as well. So that's mibayle. That's what it should have said. So isn't this a raya that hadlaka osa mitzvah? Va'od mitkam v'archin asher kishon mitzotzav itzivanu lahadlik ner shel Chanukah shemamin hadlaka osa mitzvah. And also you see from the nusach of the bracha, the fact that the Chazal chose when they formulated the bracha to make the bracha on lahadlik ner shel Chanukah, so you see that the hadlaka is the Iker mitzvah. So Shema Minah, says the Gemara, that seems to be a good raya that hadlaka is in fact osa mitzvah. Tosus points out Shema Minah hadlaka osa mitzvah v'im kein muter lahadlik miner liner u'mikol makom kibishnagol l'mahachmir l'shanos aminig. That since it's hadlaka osa mitzvah, you can even light from one candle to another. But the minig has become not that way. The minig has become not to do that. You do find very interesting what the Gemara seems to be suggesting is that we can look at the Nusach HaBracha and figure out the character of the mitzvah based on the Nusach HaBracha. The Birchus HaMitzvos are not Daraisa. Birchus HaMitzvos are only Drabanan. So they, on a Daraisa level, they shouldn't really reflect on the mitzvah. Yeah, but Chazal had deep insight into the mitzvos when they formulated these brachos. And therefore, we assume when they were formulating these brachos, they were keeping in mind what the character of the mitzvah is, what the Gedera mitzvah is. And that's why we're allowed to look at the Nusach HaBracha. Rav Asher Weiss has a piece in one of his Svarim in Minchas Asher about the effect sometimes that once that it goes even further than that, that sometimes Chazal will formulate a bracha and as a result of that modify how to fulfill the mitzvah so that the bracha will not be inaccurate. That you don't have happening over here necessarily. Over here the Gemara is saying, no, this is a reflection of what the mitzvah already is. But sometimes when Chazal formulate a bracha, they want the bracha to make sense. So it might even modify how we fulfill the mitzvah in order to make sure that our fulfillment of the mitzvah is going to match the bracha that we're going to recite on that mitzvah. Now, one of the rayas, or the raya really, before the raya of the bracha, the raya that the Gemara was settling on was the fact that it said mechabe umadlika as opposed to mechabe magbia manich umadlika. Because had it been hanacha osa mitzvah, then what you should have to do is extinguish it, lift it, place it, and light it. So Tosfos asks the question, really? You would have to do all of those things if it was hanacha osa mitzvah? Tosfos in the top Tosfos, in Tomar, amai mechabe v'chozer madlik, magba osagi, kivad hanacha osa mitzvah, datu migara deluka v'omedes midlik chereshet v'katan. He says, you know, if you hold hanacha osa mitzvah, the maisa hadlaka is irrelevant. You can have a chereshet v'katan light your candle. So why would the Gemara suggest that if you hold hanacha osa mitzvah, you would have to extinguish it, lift it, place it, and relight it? All you should really have to do is lift it and put it back down and keep it lit the entire time. Why would you have to extinguish it at all? So Tosa says, Yesh lomer demayri shedlika mitchilasa litzarech Shabbos. Now, in this case, it's not just stam that it got lit. It was lit for a different purpose. It was lit litzarech Shabbos. And that's worse than idlika cherishot of a katan. Because at the time that a cherishot of a katan light it, granted they're not able to have kavana lishma or whatever, but it was obvious that they were doing it for Ner Chanukah. But when you're lighting for the sake of Ner Shabbos, so then it's showing you that it's dafka not for Ner Chanukah. So that's why it would have to be relit, says Tosos, in the name of the Riva, if one were to in fact hold Hanacha Osa Mitzvah. So now says the Gemara, V'hashta Daminan Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, now that we say Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, Idlika Cherishot V'Katan Lo Asa V'Lo Klum, if a Cherishot V'Katan lights it, it's invalid. valid because a chereshot of a katan can't do the maisa hadlaka. Isha vaday madlika, but a woman could certainly do the hadlaka. Dam Rishon ben Levi, nashim chayavos mi'ner Chanukah sha'afin hayu ba'osa anes, that women are included in Ner Chanukah because of the principle of afin hayu ba'osa anes. And this is one of the three times in Shas where we apply the principle of afin hayu ba'osa anes. Rashi points out shegazur yivanim al kol besulos sanesuos li boil the tafsar trila val yedei isha nasa anes. Rashi emphasizing kedarko that not afin hayu ba'osa anes does not mean that women also, parenthetically, happened to have been involved in the nes, but no, both that they were a critical part of the sakana, the threat was against women in a very major way, that they had to be boel to the tafsar first, and second of all, the nes happened through a woman. That's what afin hayu ba'osa anes means, that afin hayu ba'osa anes doesn't mean that they just happened to have been involved in the nes, like the Balei HaTosfos say, but that they were the ikar of the nes, says Rashi. That's how we understand afin hayu ba'osa anes. So we find afin hayu ba'osa anes by Dalet Kosos, we find it by Mikra Megillah, and we find it by Ner Chanukah. It happens to be that in all three places where we have afin hayu ba'osa anes, it happens to be a mitzvah midrabanan, and it happens to be a mitzvah that involves persume nisa. So that's a discussion in the Achronim. How much of that is dafka? Does afin hayu ba'osa anes only, can it only apply to mitzvahs drabanan? Can we say afin hayu ba'osa anes to mitzvahs daraisa? Tosos in a couple of places in Shas raises the question, why don't we say that women are chayiv in sukkah midin afein hayu ba'osa anes? So it could be that the answer is very simple, because sukkah is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and we're not going to apply afein hayu ba'osa anes to a mitzvah d'oraisa. It could be because sukkah is a mitzvah of persuminisa. So different balei atosos throughout Shas have different approaches to when we're willing to apply afein hayu ba'osa anes. Some balei atosos suggest that it never applies to a mitzvah d'oraisa. Others say, yeah, it would apply to a mitzvah d'oraisa, but it would only be a mechayev midrabanan, would not be a mechayev on a d'oraisa level. Meaning, for example, we say that women are chayev in matzah, but not because of afein hayu ba'osa anes. Women are chayev in matzah because kol sheyeshno bal tochel chametz, yeshno b'kom echol matzah, the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim. The Gemara makes a drasha that anyone who's included, there's a hekesh between the isra of achilas chametz and the mitzvah of achilas matzah. So anyone who's included in the isra of achilas chametz is included in the mitzvah of achilas matzah. So the Balei HaTosfos are bothered. Why do I need that drasha? Why don't you just say afein hayu ba'osa anes? So it could be because afein hayu ba'osa anes would not work, or it could be it would not work as effectively, because it only would have been a mechayev on a derabanan level. So that's what you have to look in Tosfos in the 10th Perek of Maseches Pesachim and in the 1st Perek of Maseches Megillah. Tosfos has a number of different approaches. Okay, says the Gemara, Amrav Sheshes, Achsanoi Chayiv b'ner Chanukah. A guest is Chayiv in Ner Chanukah. So Amrav Zerim, Meresh Kavina Be'rav, Mishtatafna Be'priti Bahadi Ushpiza. He says, when I used to be a yeshiva bacher, I used to give some money to whoever my host was, and in that way I would fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. But now that I'm married, so I don't need to be mishtatif papriti, because my wife is lighting for me back at home, and as long as my wife is lighting for me back at home, then I'm okay, then I'm miyotze the mitzvah through the lighting of my wife. In the Sefer Be'ikve Atzon, Mori Rabbi Rav Shechter writes, in the name of his Rabbi, in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, that you do find that this concept of mishtatif papriti is an unusual concept, meaning is the idea that you just want to have your own oil, so get some of your own oil, buy some of your own oil. So he explains in the name of Salvechik that it's not just that, and if the host happens to have an extra menorah, you should light the menorah. No, it doesn't work if you're lighting the menorah in a home that isn't yours. Mishtatif Papriti creates a situation, it's a mechanism that Chazal used to make you one of the Bnei Habayis. This was a revolutionary idea that Rav Salvechik had. It's l'chora very, very meduyak in the Gemara, because the Gemara never says best to light your own menorah, but if you can't have your own menorah, so give a couple of pennies to the balabayas so you can participate. No, it never says that. It says that's what you're supposed to do, that you're supposed to give some money to the balabayas for his oil. So whereas most poskim said, yeah, but kal v'chomer, if you light your own menorah, that's got to be even better, Rav Soloveitchik said, no, the Gemara is meduyuk, the Gemara is very precise in what it's suggesting. To light your own menorah is not going to work, it's not your home, you need to become one of the Bnei Habayis. So how do you become one of the Bnei Habayis? By being being mishtativ b'priti, and that's why when you have guests on Chanukah, people often ask, they'll always call up on Erev Shabbos Chanukah, my in-laws are here, my parents are here, I'm at my in-laws, what should I do? So most rabbis who are not Talmidim of Talmidei Rav Soloveitchik will say, if they have an extra menorah, so light your own menorah, that would be best. But the Talmidei Rav Soloveitchik would say, no, don't light your own menorah, give a dollar, dafka, give a dollar, and be yotzei through that adlaka. Amrav Shubalevi, kolash ranam kulan yafin liner, all the oils are good for ner, v'shemen zayis min amuvchar, but shemen zayis is the best. Amrav Meireshav mahadamar amashka dushum shemi, so that he used to be makbid on sesame oil. Rashi, Tosus rather points out, nirada an ner chanukah ka'i, v'shem taimu demasik dinovish nure tfei, that this is talking about ner chanukah, aval ner Shabbos pshita de shemen zayis mitzvah min amuvchar, but if it were ner Shabbos, then shemen zayis would for sure be the best, regardless of the quality of light sesame oil provides. Because when it comes to Ner Shabbos, we're not so concerned about, we're not as concerned about high quality of light as we are about how likely it is to start weakening and become extinguished. That's the big concern for Ner Shabbos, that you might come to violate Shabbos. So Shemen Zayis is definitely best as far as that's concerned. But for Ner Chanukah, you want to have this great Persume Nisa, you want to create these beautiful lights, so that's where he says he used to be makbid on mashkud d'shum shmi. Amar hay mashuch nuhure tvei, and he said it's because the light was a higher quality light. Kivin d'shama la'ala hadar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi mahadra mashkud d'zeisa. But once he heard that Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi was makbid to look for olive oil, Amar hay tzalul nuhure tvei, said that's a clearer light, and therefore it's better. V'am Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, kol ashvanim yafin l'diyo, v'shemen zayis min amuvchar. All oils are good for making ink, but Shemen Zayis is the best. Ibayilu, legabel o la'ashen? Which part of the ink making process is Shemen Zayis the best for? Legabel or la'ashen? Rashi explains that he found in Tshuvas HaGaonim that the way they would make ink is that they would smoke up a glass with smoke of Shemen Zayis. So that's the la'ashen. They'd use smoke of Shemen Zayis to blacken a glass, and then they would scrape off the shachruris of the glass, and they'd mix it with oil. And that's the legabel. The mixing it with oil. So where is it that you need Shemen Zayis? Is it at the stage of the creating of the smoke, or the mixing of the black that has been scraped off of the glass with oil? So Tashma, Detani Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra, Kol Hashmanim Yafin L'Diyo V'Shemen Zayis Min Amuvchar, Bein L'Gabel, Bein La'ashin. Shemen Zayis is best for both parts. Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra, Masni Yachi, Kol Hashanim Yafin L'Diyo, all smoke is good for ink making, V'Shemen Zayis Min Amuvchar, Shemen Zayis is the best. Amar Rav Huna, Kol Srafin Yafin L'Diyo, U'Sraf K'taf Yafin Mikulam. All sorts of sraf, all sorts of sap are good for Diyo, but sraf of K'taf is the best. Amar B'chia Barashi, Amar Rav, Hamadik Ner Shel Chanukah Tzaruch Levarich. When a person lights Neros Chanukah, one must recite a bracha. Now, what's the Chiddush? Of course one must recite a bracha. When you do any mitzvah, we recite a Birchsa mitzvah. Now this is only a mitzvah midrabanan, that even though it's only a mitzvah midrabanan, we recite a bracha on mitzvahs midrabanan as well. Verbi Yirmiyah Amar Haroa Ner Shel Chanukah Tzaruch Levarich. And Rabbi Yirmiyah has a different formulation, that not only a bracha for lighting Ner Chanukah, a bracha for seeing Ner Chanukah. Amr of Yehuda, Yom Rishon Ara Mevarich Beis, Om Madlik Mevarich Gimel. On day one of Chanukah, someone who only sees Ner Chanukah but did not have an opportunity to light the Ner Chanukah. So, and that's key. It's only if he did not have the opportunity to light the Ner Chanukah, all he did was Roeh. Then he says two brachos, but someone who has the opportunity to actually light the Ner Chanukah would recite three brachos. The Ritva has a whole discussion over here in Machlokas, whether all three brachos are done over La'asiyasan, meaning are these all Birchas HaMitzvah? The halacha is, the Gemara tells us in the first paragraph of Maseches Pesachim, and in Maseches Sukkah, that kol ha-mitzvos kulan mivarchin alayen over la'asiyasan, that all mitzvos, you say a bracha on them over la'asiyasan before you do the mitzvah. So certainly the first bracha of la'adig ner shel chanukah, or la'adig ner chanukah, depending on your text, but the first bracha is asher kiddushanu b'mtsos v'tzivanu, it's very clearly a birchas ha-mitzvah. But what about the other brachos? Are they also over la'asiyasan, the shasanisim, the shachianu? So that the Ritva quotes two deos over here, whether they are supposed to be over la'asiyasan or not. So on day one, the Roa says two brachos, and the Madlik says three. Mikan ve'elach, Madlik Madlik Mivarek Shtayim V'ro Mivarek Achas. But after day one, the person lighting says two brachos, you leave out Shechianu, and the person who sees says one bracha. You cannot say the bracha of the Hadlik because he's not doing the Hadlaka. He can only say the Birchas Hanes, the bracha of Shasanisim. My Mima'et, what's taken away after day one? Mima'et Zman, Shechianu is taken away after day one. Vinim Nes, why don't we take away Shasanisim? Nes Kol Yomei Yisei. The Nes applies equally on all of the days. Shechianu is something that's about the newness of a mitzvah. That's only true on day one, but Shasanisim applies equally to all of the days. My Mivarech, so what are these brachos? Mivarech Asher Kishon Mitzvah Vitzvan Lahadik Ner Shel Chanukah. So the bracha is like a regular birchsa mitzvah. Sherek Yidushanu Mitzosav Vitzivanu Lahadik Ner Shel Chanukah. So it says more of a Heichon Tzivanu. Yeah, but where in the world do we find that there's a mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? How can you say Hashem commanded us? There is no mitzvah in the Torah of Ner Chanukah. So Rav Avya Amar Milo Sasur, that we find that there is a mitzvah in the Torah of Ner Chanukah, because the Pasuk says Lo Sasur. That Lo Sasur is that you're not allowed to veer from what the Chachamim tell you, and since you're not allowed to veer from what the Chachamim tell you, so you say a bracha on the mitzvos midrabanan as well. The Torah Tumim in his commentary to the Chumash on that pasuk of Lo Sasur points out that Lo Sasur is a Lo Sasei, and that's very unusual that you can have a bracha on a Lo Sasei. The Rush in the first parak of Maseches Ksubis, when he talks about Birchas Erisin and what an unusual bracha it is, one of his rayas that it cannot be a Birchas mitzvah is that we say Sha'asalanu es ha'arusos v'yitalanu es ha'arusos. Why would you talk about what's usher to you in a Birchas mitzvah? Birchas mitzvah is always on something positive. You don't say a bracha before you shech, sha'asalanu es nevelos, es ha'trefos. No, you don't say brachos on los aseis. You only say brachos on mitzvah sasei. So that's what the Torah Tumim points out, that it's a little bit strange that los sasur is going to be the pasuk that's going to be the basis for a bircha, for a positive birchas ha-mitzvah. And that's what he says. It's probably the Gemara speaking in shorthand. And it's probably the other half of the pasuk that it's referring to. The pasuk in its entirety, Dvarim Perek Zion reads, Al piat Torah asher yorucha, v'al ha-mishpat asher yomru lucha, ta'aseh! That you should do what they tell you, you should do how they paskin for you, and don't veer from what they tell you. But really, it's the first half of the pasuk, says the Torah Tamima, that's the mechayev of the bracha, because the first half is said in a positive way. Rabbi Nechemya Omar Sha'ala Vicha V'Yagedcha Zikenecha V'Yomru Lach. That it's from the pasuk of Sha'ala Vicha V'Yagedcha Zikenecha V'Yomru Lach that tells us that we have to follow the Chachamim, and that's why we recite a bracha on mitzvos midra. Masiv Rav Amram had demai, if you have demai, produce that you got from an Amma Aretz, ma'arvin bo, umishtatvin bo, umivarchin alav, umizamnin alav, umafrishno so arom, ubenash mashos, that you can do a whole bunch of things with demai. You could use it for an Erev, you could use it for a Shitufei Mavuos, you could say a bracha on demai, you could say meaning hamotzi, you could do a zimon on demai, meaning you do birchsa zimon, it's considered a real achilas keva, you could be mafrish from demai, while totally unclothed, and that's going to be the key that we're going to focus on that one. And during Ben HaShemashos, even though you're not allowed to be Mesakein Tavua during Shabbos, but during Ben HaShemashos, we're not gozer, I'm being Mesakein Demai. But V'yamrit, call me Drabanan by a bracha. But if you can say every mitzvah Drabanan requires a bracha, being Mafresh Chumas and Maisos from Demai is also a mitzvah Midrabanan, and therefore it should require a bracha. So Hacha Ki Kai Yorim Hechi Mevarech. How could you possibly say a bracha on the Hafrashas Demai if a person is unclothed? V'abinon V'yamachanech. When one recites brachos, they need to have something covering their erva. It has to be machanecha kadosh. So how could it be that the Braisa would tell us that you're allowed to be mafrish arum when you're being mafrish demai? I thought mitzvot rabbanon require a bracha. So amar abai vaday de divrayim by a bracha. When something is betoras vaday on a rabbanon level, like ner chanuka was a vaday that the rabbanon were masakin. It wasn't, oh, maybe there was an ace and therefore it'll be masakin a mitzvah of ner chanuka just in case. No, there was a definite yom tov midrabbanon that they instituted, and therefore they instituted a bracha. Safik de divrayim lo by a bracha. But something that's entirely based on the safik, like Demai, where the whole thing is a suffix. Really, most of the Amei Aretz are Mafresh Trumas and Maestros. They're all Mafresh Truma Gedola. But most of them, even the majority of them, are Mafresh Maestros as well. So the whole thing is only on a suffix that maybe you're the unlucky one who purchased produce from an Amei Aretz who's not in the majority. Vayom Tov Sheni, the suffix Devrayim Uboi Bracha. But what about Yom Tov Sheni? It's only a suffix Devrayim, and yet it still requires a Bracha, meaning we say Kiddush on Yom Tov Sheni, and it's only because of Sveika Dioma. That's because if we were to not recite brachos on Yom Tov Sheni, then people would be mezalzel in Yom Tov Sheni. So we have to be careful to treat Yom Tov Sheni very similar to the way we treat Yom Tov Rishon. Rava Amar Rov Amei Aretz Ma'asrinhein, and Rava says that Rov Amei Aretz do take Maisos, and therefore a Safik to Devrayim does require Bracha, and Demai is less than that. Demai is not even a Safik to Devrayim, it's really just a Chumra Bialma, because really the majority of Amei Aretz, normally you'd be allowed to rely on the majority of Amei Aretz do take off Maisos. Good. Amrav Huna, Chatzar Shekesh LeBeis Psachim Tzricha Shtei Neros. If you have a Chatzar that has two entranceways into the Chatzar, so you need two sets of candles, one by each of the doorways. Amar Rav, Lo Amran Elu Mishtei Ruchos. That's only if the two entranceways are in two different directions. Avu Miruach Achas Lo Tzarech. But if they're both facing the same street, both of the doorways to the Chatzar are facing the same street, you don't need to double up on your Neros. Mai Taima, Ilei Mimishum Chashada. If the whole thing is about Chashad, Chashada Deman, who exactly is going to be Choshed you? Ilei Mechashada Dialma, if it's people who happen to be passing through town but don't live in this town, so Afilu Baruach Achas Nami, then even in one direction you should need multiple candles, because they don't know how many people are living in that chatzer. They might think that it's split up into multiple families, and the chatzer is divided on the inside, and therefore they're going to think one of the families in the chatzer is not lighting Neros Chanukah. And if it's people who are more familiar with who lives where, people who are locals, and they know that that it's not multiple families in there, then Afilu Mishnei Ruch then you shouldn't even need Neros Chanukah when the doorways are in two different directions, because everyone from the town knows that that there's another doorway and that family must have lit by the other doorway. Says where Liola Mishum Chashad de Bnei Masa. The Chashad that we're concerned about is from the locals. The Zimnan de Machli Bahai Velo Chalti Bahai. But they might pass by one direction and not pass by the other direction. And in so doing, Va'amri, they're going to say, Kiyechi de Bahai Pischaload de Pach Pischanami. They might think to themselves, oh, these people didn't light Neros Chanukah yet. They didn't light on this doorway, so Mestamba, they didn't light in the other doorway either. So one might think, who cares what people think? I'm doing my Avodas Hashem. Why do I have to? No, but a person has to avoid Chashad. This is part of our religious obligation that we should be beyond reproach. We should be above suspicion. So it is our problem. It is our concern. V'yisim Nikiyim, we have to be beyond reproach. Uminat Tamer the Chashin al Chashad. Where do we find such a notion that we're choshesh for chashad? Titania, Amra b'shim b'shvil arba dvarim Amra Torah laniach peya b'sof sadeu. So the Gemara is going to give this fancy answer from peya. How I know that we're choshesh for chashad, that we have to modify our behavior based on what others might suspect us of doing. The truth is, though, I saw in one of the Achronim in the back of the Gemara, he pointed out, you don't have to go very far in Shas to find the first place where we clearly are concerned about chashad, that people will suspect us of wrongdoing. Brachos daf Gimel, we already have a concern of chashad. The Gemara over there says three reasons why a person is not supposed to enter into a churva. Even if a person wants to daven and they need a quiet place to daven, Eliyahu HaNavi gives a little musar. Don't go into a churva. Better to daven a tefillah katsara. So why can't you go into a churva? So there are three reasons not to go into a churva, and one of them is chashad, that people will suspect you of wrongdoing. Why do you need such a quiet place where no one will see you? What are you up to? So that's a concern of chashad. So that's what one of the Achronim, I think it's in Mukhei Agriv, in the back of the Gemara, says that's talking about avoiding chashad actively, that don't do an action that will bring about chashad. Over here we're saying even passively, even to just not do, even that we have to be concerned about chashad. That's the greater chiddush over here. meaning by not lighting at the second doorway, I'm not actively bringing upon myself chashad, I'm just not lighting at the second doorway. So that's what we want to know. How do we know that such a chashad exists? So says the Gemara, Titania, we have a braisa. There are four reasons why peya should dafka be left, the corner of the field that's left off for aniyim, should dafka be left at the end of the field after you finish the ktsira, after you finish harvesting the field, you leave the peya at the end. You don't just leave the peya somewhere in the middle and then continue harvesting. So, mipnei gezel aniyim, one is because of stealing from the aniyim, mipnei bitel aniyim, the other is wasting the time of the aniyim. Well, the Gemara is going to explain all of these. Mipnei chashad, third one, and that's the one we're focused on, is the chashad, and mishum baltichla. It's a violation of baltichla. So, what does that mean? So, number one, mipnei gezel aniyim, shlo yira balabai yishav penuya v'yomer l'krovo ani, harezu peya. That a person should a balabayis should not wait for a time where there are no other aniyim around, except for his relative that he likes, that he wants to take care of, and say, oh, right now I declare a peya, so that only his relative is going to be able to benefit from the peya, and the other aniyim are going to be left high and dry without the ability to collect that peya. Umepnei bitul aniyim, and also because of bitul aniyim, shalayu aniyim, yoshun, mishamrin, achshav v'niach balabayis peya. If the ani has no idea when the peya is going to be left, and it could come at any point during the harvest, they're all going to be wasting their entire day sitting there waiting as you're harvesting your field. You never know, maybe at this moment he's going to designate something as peya, and my chance will be gone if I'm not here right now. So this way, if they see that you're beginning to harvest your field, the way we have it now is that you have to leave the peya at the very end. So they know they have all day before you could declare anything peya. They can go and do other things with their day until the time comes to collect the peya from your field. Umepnei chashad, and it's also a concern of chashad, because people who are passersby might think that you didn't leave peya at all, because you left peya at the very early stages when you were 10% done with your harvest, and not at the very end when you were finished with the harvest. They're not going to know that. They're going to see that you're harvesting, and they're going to assume that you never left peya, and that is bad. You're not allowed to do something that will cause other people to be choshed you. Mishum baltichla just means that you're not allowed to take everything from the field, that you have to leave peya. So all of this is mishum baltichla. So Rav b'pnei Ramatin. No, it means because of the Ramatin. Meaning the Ramatin means that there are going to be people who, if you could leave the peya at any point, so there will be people who aren't going to leave peya, and someone will ask them, why didn't you leave? Oh, I did it already. Or, oh no, I'm going to do it later on in the process. And they'll lie to people about when the timing of their leaving the peya is, and they'll never leave peya at all. So in order to make sure that the Ramayin are not able to get away with such a thing, that's why we dafka leave peya for the very end. But that's the inyan of chashad. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Redifa, Amar Rav Huna. Ner sheyesh la shnei pios ola lebeis bnei adam. That if a ner has two openings to it, a ner is the kli cheres that holds the oil in it, and the wicks go in that kli as well. But let's say the ner has two openings where wicks can come out of those two openings, so then it can count for two separate people for their mitzvah of ner Chanukah. Amar Rava, Mile ka'ara shemen, if a person fills a plate with shemen, v'kifa psilos, and he surrounds the plate with wicks, kafa le'kli olu l'kama b'nei adam. When he puts a kli over the opening of the plate, over the top of the plate, that can count for many different people. Lo kafa le'kli, asa k'min madura v'filech nami enola. But if he didn't cover it with a kli, so it's just all of these wicks in one big bowl of oil, so then it becomes like a madura, then it becomes like a big bonfire, and it's not considered a ner at all, and therefore it doesn't work for anybody. Because the mitzvah of ner Chanukah is not, you're not supposed to make a torch, you're supposed to make a ner. So if there are a whole bunch of wicks sharing all the same oil, and the wicks can become intermingled with each other because there's nothing separating one wick from the other, so that's just a torch, and that's not going to work for the mitzvah at all. Amarava, pshitali ner beso v'ner Chanukah, ner beso ad of mishum shalom beso. That if a person has an option of either lighting ner beso to light up his house, or ner Chanukah, the ner to light up his house is going to win, because shalom bayis is a more dominant concern then Ner Chanukah. Ner Beso v'kiddush Hayom, Ner Beso Adav Mishum Shalom Beso. Similarly, if it's either having light in your house or wine for Kiddush, so Ner Beso is going to win because of Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis is going to be the more dominant concern. If you look if you look in Rashi, Ner Beso v'Ner Chanukah, Ner Beso b'Shabbos v'u ani ve'en lo k'dei l'kro shem l'shtei neros. Ner Beso v'ir means dafka on Shabbos, where a person is an ani and he's not able to afford Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah. So that's the Shaila. That's where the Gemara said Ner Beso is Adif. And it's all because of Shalom Bayis, that people should be able, there should be light in the house so that they create a sense of peace and serenity in the house. Bari Rava, Ner Chanukah v'Kiddush Hayom Mahu. What if it's Ner Chanukah versus Kiddush Hayom? Kiddush Hayom Adif to Tadir? Does Kiddush Hayom win because it's more Tadir, it's more common every single week? We have a mitzvah of Kiddush. Odilma Ner Chanukah Adif Mishum Persuminisa. Or do we say, no, Ner Chanukah is the more dominant one because of Persuminisa? So Basudi Bayi Hadar Pashta, Ner Chanukah Adif Mishum Persuminisa. He then ultimately answered that it's Ner Chanukah that wins because Persuminisa is the more dominant concern. Tosos points out on the top Tosos, Venira la Rashba, Kishachal Rosh Chodesh Tevis Lios Beshabis, Sheyesh la Haftir Beneiros de Zacharia, Mishum Persume Nisa, Veloba Shemayim Kisi, Sheyaftoris Rosh Chodesh. What happens when Rosh Chodesh Tevis falls out on Shabbos? So now it's one of those, it's a three Sefer Torah Shabbos, right, where you have to worry about laning for Rosh Chodesh and laning for Chanukah and laning for Shabbos. So what should the Haftorah be? So he says the Haftorah should be Chanukah related. It should not be Rosh Chodesh related. V'od, says Tosos, kiven shamaftir kore b'shal Chanukah, yesh lahaftir mi'inyan shakara. Since the maftir read from Chanukah, you always read the Haftorah related to the maftir. That's a klal gadol that Tosos is giving us. A lot of times, or certainly we're going to be faced with a shayla, be'ezus Hashem, it should be bekarov, that we go back to our shuls and we're able to lane again, and there will be a whole bunch of bar mitzvah boys who were robbed of a bar mitzvah, who spent a year preparing and didn't get to lane for anybody. So they were asking Moreinu v'Rabbeinu Rav Shechter Shlita whether it's okay to have a bar mitzvah boy lane for his parsha that was missed, you know, for the entire tzibur, or whether you shouldn't do that because of tircha de tzibura. So you point out tircha de tzibura is a legitimate concern, but let's say you have a tzibur that of close friends of the bar mitzvah boy, the bar mitzvah boy's family, that are interested in providing him with that opportunity. So they want to have a minyan where he'll be able to lane, and they're happy to provide him with that opportunity. So then it's not a tircha de tzibur. It's only a tircha de tzibur if the tzibur views it as a tircha. But if the tzibur is perfectly happy with it, and you have a tzibur of people that unanimously are interested in it, so then let them lane. But you would do it at the end. I mean, you would first have to lane that week's laning, and then you would do like we do osafos for those places that are in the practice of doing osafos. So you would add on however many extra aliyos you want to add on, and you'd be able to say brachos on it and everything. You could add on however many aliyos to fill in that parsha. So they asked Rav Shechter, so which Haftorah should you read? He said, well, whatever you laned last. So the bar mitzvah boy would turn out. You wouldn't read, let's say, Be'ez Hashem, it should be Parshas Tzav, or Refuah Shekam Bekarov. So it should be Parshas Tzav that we're in our shuls, Shabbos HaGadol. So you have a bar mitzvah boy who's reading, who's reading Vayaka Kisisa, let's say, right? So it would be the Haftorah of Kisisa in the end, because the Haftorah is always going to be after the Maftir. It's always going to be based on what you were Maftir with, based on what you laned last, and not based on whatever that week's Haftorah is supposed to be. It should really be based on the Maftir. So it could be a very labedic scene. We're going to have to figure out exactly how to manage all of this. Probably there will be small satellite minyanim for bar mitzvah boys who want a lane, or we'll say next year we'll throw bags at you, or something like that. So that's what Tosus points out over here. Says the Gemara further. Actually, a little bit more in Tosfos. Tosfos points out the Umash Makdim Likros Bishal Rosh Chodesh Mishum Debukriyas HaTorah Kivin Dematzi Lemevet Travayu Tadir Uper Suminisa Avdin and Travayu V'Tadir Kodem Avleicha Dulovav Shalemevet Travayu Persuminisa Adiv. Tosfos makes another important Ha'ara over here. We say Persuminisa beats out Tadir because in our Gemara the Shaila is not which one comes first, but which one do you do? You can only do one or the other. So that's where we say, oh, Persuminisa's adif. But when it's a matter of doing both, it's just a matter of which one comes first, it could be that Tadir, Vishenu Tadir, Kodem, as far as Kedima is concerned, would beat out even Persuminisa. Amar Rav Huna, back in the Gemara, Ragil Benerv, someone is accustomed to Neros of Mitzvah, having the Banim Tamidei Chachamim. His Zuchus is going to be that he's going to have children who are Tamidei Chachamim. Hazayir b'mezuzah, Zochel Dira Na'e. If someone is careful about the Mitzvah of Mezuzah, so it will be Zochel to have a beautiful Dira, he'll be Zochel to have a beautiful home, because he's careful about the Mitzvah of Mezuzah, which is the Mitzvah related to the Bayis. So we assume that this is like a Midah connection of these things. Hazayir b'tzitzis, if someone is careful about tzitzis, zochel l'talis na'i, he's going to be zochel to have a nice talis. Hazayir b'kiddush hayom, zochel m'malei garbe yayin. If a person is careful about kiddush hayom, he'll be able to have lots and lots of wine. Rav Huna, which was a sign of Ashirus, obviously. Rav Huna ava ragil d'ava chalif v'tani apischa d'Rabbi Yavin Nagra. Rav Huna used to walk by the doorway of Rabbi Yavin Nagra. Nagra means a carpenter. So he was a Balabas, he was a carpenter, he was a Choresh Eitzim, Rashi says. He saw that they had a lot of candles. Rashi writes, what kind of candles? Shabbos candles, the Shabbos. Amar Trey Gavri Rav Ruvi Nafki Mehacha. And he said, wow, two great Talmidei Chacham are going to come from this house. Nafki Minayu, Ravidi Baravin, Rav Chia Baravin. And sure enough, Ravidi Baravin, this was Rav Avin Nagra. So Ravidi Baravin and Rav Chia Baravin, two great Talmidei Chachamim. I mean, sometimes you have these great Talmidei Chachamim, the parents are not known as Talmidei Chachamim, and everyone wonders, where did this come from? So says the Gemara, here you have it, that he was a simple carpenter, but he was careful about the Neros, about the Ner Shabbos, which, as we learned, is a reflection of Shalom Bayis. And that which is a reflection of Shalom Bayis is very likely to create an environment where a child is going to grow into a Talmud Chacham. Rav Chista v'ragil d'avachal v'tani apischa de Beinosha to Rav Shizvi, that he went past the Pischa de Beinosha of Rav Shizvi. What is a Pischa de Beinosha? So Tosfos points out in the name of Rabbeinu Tam that his father had passed away, and that's why we don't call it Beavua, but it means the father's house, but without the father there. That's called Beinosha. We apply this all the time, Lahalacha, when Lo Aleinu, if a Kala gets married and her father is no longer alive, so we don't say Mi Beavua, we say Mi Beinosha. That's what the Lashon that we write, we alter the Lashon of the Ksuba. Beinosha means the house that she comes from. So Chazad Dava Ragel B'Shargi Tuva, he saw that they were careful about having a lot of candles. Amar Gavarav Nafik Me'achin, he said, oh, a great man is going to come from this house, and Nafik Minayu, Rav Shizvi. And sure enough, Rav Shizvi came out from that house. In the first case, it was two Gavarabas. Over here, it's only one Gavaraba. So Tosfos points out, because in the first case, both the husband and the wife were careful about Neros. In the second case, it was only one of them. So when both of them were careful about Neros, two Tamilcham. The bitter Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef's wife used to delay in lighting her Ner Shabbos, meaning she would wait till right before candle lighting time. So Amar Rav Yosef, Tanya, Lo Yomish Amuda Anon Yomam Vamuda Eish Laila. That the Eish would take over for the Anan when it would turn into nighttime, and they would each be Mashlim each other. So right before sunset, the Amud Eish would already show up. So Savar Lakduma, so she thought, okay, maybe I should do it really early. That no, you're not supposed to do it too early nor too late. Shelo Yaktim, says Rashi, Delominkara Shehi Shel Shabbos, because it's not going to be so recognizable that it's Neros Shel Shabbos, so you don't light the Neros too early. So she did okay by lighting closer to the time. Amar Rava, Durachim Rabbanan. Once we're talking about segulas for having children who are Tamidei Chachamim, so Durachim Rabbanan, if someone is someone who loves Tamidei Chachamim, Havile Bnin Rabbanan. They're going to have children who are Tamidei Chachamim. Demokir Rabbanan, someone who's Mechabed Tamidei Chachamim, Havile Chasnavasa Rabbanan. They're going to have sons in law that are Talmidei Chachamim. That's also Mida Kenegan Mida, because there's a kavod shown from one to the other. The chasan is mechabed his chamav. That's a halach in Shulchan Aruch that he has to be mechabed his father-in-law. So by showing kavod to Talmidei Chachamim, his own son-in-law is going to be a Talmid Chacham. Didachim le'rabbanan, someone who's fearful of Talmidei Chachamim, who has a certain yira from the Ritcha d'Oraisa of Talmidei Chachamim, who guf avitzum le'rabbanan, then he himself is going to become a Talmud Chacham, because someone who's yare, it's even greater than being mechabed. Kibud is only bifneihem. Yir is both bifneihem and shelo bifneihem, Rabbi Yonasan Milanil points out, and that's why it's a greater schar that he himself becomes a Talmud Chacham. V'ilav bar hachiyu, and if he's not royal lekach, meaning he's not someone who could really dedicate significant hours into Talmud Torah, because the Gemara says, look, there's no magic over here. For you yourself to become a Talmud Chacham, you can have all the fear you want, but if you're not going to put the hours in terms of the learning, you're not going to become a Talmud Chacham. So if he's not royal lekach, because he can't spend all that time learning, so mishtamin milik etzur mirabanan, he's going to be someone who people listen to, though. He's going to be someone who people are going to listen to like they ought to listen to a Talmud Chacham. But this idea that someone who respects Talmidei Chachamim, someone who honors and loves and respects Talmidei Chachamim, that they're going to have Talmidei Chachamim in their family. Remember, we made that a ha'ara in Maseches Brachos, that Rav Eliashiv points out that all the bar papas, that Rav Papa is the one that throughout all Maseches Brachos, whenever there was a machlokas between two different Amoraim, he would incorporate both Shitos into the Halacha. So Rav Eliashiv pointed out, and that's why he was Zocha to have 10 sons, who were all great Talmidei Chachamim that we mention at every single Siyum, because he so was Mechabed all the other Talmidei Chachamim that he didn't want to reject any of their Shitos. He worked on incorporating all of the Shitos of the different Talmidei Chachamim, and that was the greatest skula, ultimately, for having Banim who are Talmidei Chachamim. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up at the two dots of Lo b'shem and Sreifa tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody, and stay safe.
Thank you.